Wonderful Lord Jesus, wonderful Father in heaven, we bless the holy name. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, for life abundantly. Life that came from above into our soul, into our spirit, into our very being. It causes us, Lord, to know you as our Father, as our Savior, our Lord and Master. We thank you for this life. Father and Lord, we thank you now as we approach thy word. We ask that, Lord, you open our mind, open our understanding, Lord, and bring things to our remembrance, things that we have learned even so. For in the hour that we live in, Father, we know, Lord, there is all these prophetic words that you have written down thousands of years ago coming to pass, Lord, and you are asking us to be watchful and prayerful. And therefore, Lord, let your word, therefore, Father, be broken down for our nourishment, Lord, and our strength and our walk with you in this day that we are living in, Father. Where this world is sick, Father, we know that you are alive. And we are alive in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for this life eternal. So bless the Holy Word now, Lord, as we enter to it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Let's go to where we left off last week and to the book of Zechariah. Alright? And just pick up the verse where we have left off. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2 to 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus said the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Now this is the prophecy of what God has given to Israel. Because what Israel did, God had dispersed them to the enemies. But you know, here God promised and said to them that I was jealous for Zion. And I said when we think of Israel, natural, the people of God out there. Think of us, Christian, being that spiritual Israel. So when we read about what God is doing for Israel, how he dealt with them, God would also deal with us the same way. And because here he says, I am jealous of Zion, think also that it is for us, that he is jealous for his bride, his people, the Gentile, those who are converted, those who are forming the bride. And he said, here I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. God is very protective. And we need to know that God is very protective of His bride. I want to say this now. God had Israel for a wife. And even though God put her away and went for the Gentiles to take a wife, He will never forsake Israel. But He said in the next verse, thus saith the Lord, I will return unto Zion. He said, I'm returned unto Zion. I'm coming back for Zion. And will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And this is a promise, this is a prophecy where the Lord will surely come back. And He did. He came to Israel back in the days when Christ came. And yet He would return back to Israel again. Because when Israel and the Jews forsake the gospel, God turned to us. But He will come back to them again. He will still return back to Israel. Now, I want to say this now, that all this, the thing that God is doing, that we read in the Bible, that we have studied in the Bible, God has this choice. He has His own choice. He will do what He wanted to do. We cannot question God. Let me say this. If there is no Abraham, or if there is no Abraham, if God did not choose Abraham, then what will happen? There will be no Israel. And if there is no Israel, there will be no oracles. Is that all right? But then people ask the question, why then God allow the sin to come in? But we already know this, that God had a purpose. God did not will it, but God already foreknown what's going to happen, and He allows it by reason of His own plan and purpose to have a people for Himself. So because God allows him to come in, He's able to have something better for His creation. You know, when I look at the thing that God has created, yes, it's beautiful. If sin had never gotten into the world, sin did not come in upon this earth, then what do we have? We have natural people. And I said, with natural people, there is no, well, will be more like being conformed to do something as robots, worshipping God not out of our own free will. And this is the thing about it. God gave us this choice because God Himself has His own choice. God faces choices of His own. So because God has a choice to do what He wants, so He gives the same to us. The reason is because it's obvious, because we were all created in His own image. Man, Adam, when God created him, he was created in God's image. And because he was in God's image, the free will is there. It cannot be taken away. God never take away your choice, whatever you want to do. Remember, I said this many years ago, many times in the past, that there are Christians who say that if I'm a child of God, if I would venture out somewhere that I should not be, God will stop me. No, God will not stop you. Because your choice is your choice. But God will deal with us, surely. You understand? Once you become a child of God, you have to make choices according to the scripture. according to the light of the truth that you have, or what we have. So, if God chose Abraham, if God did not choose Abraham, then there will be no 12 tribes. And if there's no 12 tribes, no nation of Israel, there will be no oracles. And there will be no oracles, what happened? That means we will not have any revelation of God. We will not know who God is. And because God gave the oracles, man can come to know or to hear the oracles and to receive the revelation of it. Now, you know a lot, there are people out there that, like, I think your friends and all this, that they do not want to be a Christian. They don't believe in God. And in fact, I know that many Christians that I know of, especially in this COVID issue now, member of the family died. And there are those, I mean, they are Christian, and many of them get upset. Where is God? When we need Him the most. My mother died, my sister died, my child died. Where is God? I cannot believe in Jesus anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? We make the choice. As I said, how many of these people who scream out at God because something happened to them or to the family? We ask the question, are these people really born again? Are these people really born again? Remember Job's wife. Whatever happened to Job, Job had a rare experience with God. Even what God took away from him, so many things. Yet his wife would tell him, what do you suffer all the day long like this? Why don't you just curse God and die? And what was the reply? What is the reply of Job to her? You foolish woman, you don't know what you're saying. Huh? Even if I die, I will still resurrect and stand before God. In Him I live, in Him I die. Is it not true? So, trial and tribulation comes. For us, I'm talking about us Christians. I'm not talking about the sinners out there. I'm not talking about make believers out there. Or people who go to church, nominal Christian. When I was at the acupuncture clinic, you know, and there was this staff nurse. She's a Christian. I talked to her. And I said, are you a reader? Because I want to give her a book. Say, oh, well, I don't really read that much, you know, this and that. So I said, I want to give you this copy of book. Copy of this book, this Logos, the beginning of the creation of God. I show it to her. She says, oh, well, you know, I don't have a time to read. You can give it to the doctor, the one who give you the acupuncture. She's not a Christian. So, you see, there are people who do not want to read. And especially, I know this to be true, a lot of Christians do not want to read Christian articles. They don't want to read Christian books, many of them. I mean, there are a lot of Christian books out there, yes. But if you are interested in some book of your interest, buy it, borrow it, read it. And I'll show it to her that this is about the garden. She's not interested. So, there are people just like that, they do not gain the knowledge of God, they do not want to know more about the Word of God and the understanding of the Word of God. They are veiled, remember our message to the veil, they are veiled in tradition, just like Israel. The most important thing about our life If we have a connection with God, experience with God, just like Job, remember this. In those days, there was no churches. I mean, you know, in the way that Job lived in those days, how did they gather for fellowship? Because Job was way before Abraham, I believe. How did they, you know, before Moses? So how did these people in the day of Job worship? There were no tabernacle. Huh? There were no temple. So people gather somehow as a family or as a village of people, you know, province, what, however they gathered. But Job had an experience. But his wife did not have that experience. People move around in their tradition, veiled in their blindness. So because we have Abraham, God chose Abraham, there is Israel. Because there is Israel, there is the oracle. And because there is the oracle, we have the revelation. Because with no oracles, there is no revelation of the one true God, I am. Now, let's go to the next verse. Okay, let's go to the book of Psalms. 102:21. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem. The name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is Yahweh. It already is written there, to declare the name of Yahweh in Zion. Yahweh, Vaheh. I am that I am. Now, I want you to notice, God is light, in Him is no darkness. So when God chose Israel, chose Abraham so that he could have a people, Abraham came forth, Isaac came forth, Jacob. Is that right? So, and you remember what happened, that the Bible talked about iniquity. Abraham was trying to preserve his life, so he told Sarai to lie. Remember? Huh? To the Pharaoh. And then the second time, after his name was changed, and I believe Sarai's name was changed to Sarah, and her face and her, what we call her physical self, and Abraham's face all changed to become young again. Yet Abraham would tell Sarah to lie for him, so the Amalek would not kill him, so they would take the wife for himself. So you see, there is this familiar spirit that is passed down to Isaac. Isaac did the same, it goes down to Jacob. But you know one wonderful thing about Jacob is that Jacob prevailed against God in the wrestling with God. You know that story, right? You remember? When God came down to visit him, and they had a wrestling match. And the Bible said that they wrestled all night. Now, God came in the form of in flesh, in theophany, wrestled with Jacob. Wrestled the whole night. How is it that God could not overcome Jacob? After all, is God, right? But that's the human thinking. But you see, God is, it's not a matter of winning the match or losing the match. It is a matter of God testing Jacob. And Jacob overcame him, refused to let him go. Hold tight to the angel and refused to let him go until he got blessed. You see, that is one thing about us. If there is anything that comes, trials, temptation that we got to overcome, we really have to wrestle until we overpower the enemy. You see. So that's why, you see, when later on, when God revealed also to him, as he revealed to Abraham, and he revealed to Jacob, and then now also he revealed to Moses, what is the name? He says, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion. Zion. You and me, we are Zion. I remember I always said that, right? Always think it's our, we are also Zion. We are the holy city in New Jerusalem. But yes, the Lord God Almighty revealed himself to Israel. He used the name, I am that I am. Why he used that name, I am? Because he wanted to be personal. I said this, God always wanted to be personal with us. When he chose Israel as his wife, he is very protective. That's what we have read early on, I'm jealous for Zion. He's very protective. With a great jealousy, I was jealous for her with great fury. He's very jealous for his wife. Now, if a man doesn't protect his wife, then I think the wife married a fool. Right? The Bible, even the book of what Paul wrote in his epistle, the wife submit to the husband loved the wife. You know? But of course, the wife is a good for nothing and whatever, causing trouble in the home and whatever, you know, that's going on. I don't know how the husband can protect her. And that's why we have a lot of divorce cases in Singapore lately. And if you look at what's in the survey, I think that they said that the first 5 years, many of them got divorced after 5 years. Quite a number of cases on the rise. After 5 years, they're divorced. Oh, that tells us something is wrong. So now God said, I am. It's getting very personal. And that's why later on, you know, when God dealt with the children of Israel, he gave them the law on a tablet of stones. But what do we know about that word of God regarding the tablet of stone? He said, I will no longer write my words on the tablet of stone. I will write them in the heart. Yes? What is the stone all about? The Ten Commandments, they have the stone, the Ten Commandments, the Holy Ten Commandments, the Word of God. Moses holding in their hand. He can read it. Everyone can read it, the Ten Commandments. But when you read it from a piece of stone, for example, if the Word of God were cut on stones today, one slab, perhaps you would say, the book of John, all carved out on tablet of stone. In tablet of stone, so you would have a power. You take and you read it. How do you feel when you hold the stone and you read it? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and you're reading out of stone. What is stone? And we always say, as cold as stone, a cold stone. And fact, actually, it is true. The Ten Commandments written on the table of stone can't even give anybody life. Because it's written on the stone. The Word of God is written here, black words on white paper. It could be just as cold as a stone. Right? You know what I'm saying? The word that you're reading, what does it mean to you? We can read it. We can recite it. Yeah, I was watching a YouTube and some high school they were having, or not in high school, actually, I don't know whether it's a church competition or what. Youngsters memorizing the Bible. And they were then quizzed. Chapter and the verse, and they can remember it. And they must recite it back, word for word, and accurately. But what does it do to you if you were to just recite and memorize the Bible? It's all in your head. It's all in your memory. What good does it do? The Son of God got very personal. I am that I am. I am yours, and you are mine. My beloved is mine, I'm his, and his banner over me is love. So God gets very personal. He wants to be in you. That's you know why he wrote the word in you. And the only way that he can write it is when the Holy Spirit is given. So the choice of God to review his word no longer veiled as it is found in the tabernacle of Moses or in the temple of Solomon or in the temple of Jerusalem out there, which of course there was no more. The people were just a form of ritual. Yes. And God, Jesus Christ, he was born then at that time, you know, to fulfill the scripture, he had to fulfill the law. Festivity comes, he has to attend. You got it? But there in the tabernacle of Jerusalem, in the holy place, there was no ark. Where was it? It was lost. According to some article, some claim, you can see it on the YouTube, people are asking me. There's a man by the name of Ron Ward. He claimed to have seen the ark, and four angels were there in that bottom of the crevices of cave where he went in, and saw four angels standing there guarding the ark. And there was the blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled on the ark. When he died on Calvary, the blood dripped down from his side, down to the leg, down the cross, and when the earthquake struck, it created a crevice. The blood went down into the down the hill, you know, of Calvary, and then in there was where the ark was hidden and kept. That's what he claimed. Now the thing is this, when Christ was there, there was no ark. As I said this last week, it's because he was the ark of the covenant. Manifesting in the flesh, revealing, no longer veiled behind a curtain. God is revealing himself. And Israel was trapped in tradition. But now God came, revealing himself. Alright. So when God chose a wife, he protected the wife because the word that he gave to the wife is in the wife. Now, we are his bride. And while we are here at this junction of time, we are walking with him, we are fulfilling his word. His word is prophetic in us. We have his word in us. And because of that, as the Bible will know, the Bible shows us, God watches over his gift. And Jesus Christ is his gift to mankind. That's why when Jesus was born, as a baby, you know how the, after that, Herod found that he was to be the king, and Herod wanted to kill him. God had him moved to Egypt, right? God watches over Christ until he was 30 years old. Anoint him, and then he went out there ministering the word. So God will watch over us because he is our protector. Like your song we sang earlier, he is our deliverer. Is that right? Huh. Let us go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 13. Isaiah 46, 13. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Once saved, always saved. When God saves us, we cannot be lost. Do you understand that? Are you all believing that? Because that is election. He elected us before the foundation of the world. When he saved us, we cannot be lost. Do you understand that? But then some people say, oh, that means I can do what I want then. Go and do it and see what happens. That shows that you are not a believer to begin with. Because we are his. We submit ourselves to him as wife. Not say, oh, I'm his wife, so I can do what I want. I got flipped around with other men. And they see what happened. And that's what Israel did. And God just put her away for a while. Do you understand? You see. So if you are born again, you do that, there will be chastisement, for sure. Because God do not have bastard children. Do you understand that, huh? Because, you know, when we look at the Bible, with whatever God is doing in this holy book of ours, that he, I mean, of his that he has given us. Well, I don't know how many of you know about it. There are Christians who don't know, who believe that some part of this Bible here, some of the story in the Bible are just myth. Yes? They are just myth. In fact, I remember many, many years ago when I was reading an article by the story of Jonah, swallowed by a whale, right? For 3 days and 3 nights, they say it's a myth. How could a man survive in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights? But there was a case of a man being swallowed by a whale. And I don't know how long he was there. And when he was coughed up by the whale, just at Jonah, you know what happened to his skin? It was actually breached by the stomach juice of the whale. And how he survived that, nobody knows. It was a miracle, obviously. So, a lot of things we can consider it myth. Or, for example, the prophecy where we find the Bible, I can't remember why not in the Old Testament, whereby the prophet says that, you know, when he said unto me, you know, to go for him, I will, I can't remember how the verse goes on, and I will say to the Lord, I am here. Right now, I'm here. Now, when he called for me and I said, I'm here, right now before him, how is it possible? Back in those days, you don't hear a telephone. Long distance call, and yet I'm here. The television you see today, what you are seeing right there. Even as the book of Revelation said, the whole world will see when the Antichrist killed the two witnesses, right? The Bible said the whole world was sin, and the body will lie in the streets. Now, how is that possible for the whole world to see? They can only see by television. But back then, if you read the Bible, you know, generations of years ago, when you don't even have cars, things like that, you would say, this whole thing cannot be. It's a myth. You heard about these things? Over in the book of Revelation, an army that is how many million strong? 200 million, if I'm not mistaken. 200 million. Why is an army that large? 200 million. Not possible. Back then you don't hear. But today China itself already has that amount. Think about it. What is the population of China? The China population is about a third of the world population. How many billion is that? And the world population is coming to, I think, 8 million, 7.8 million, billion. So what is 200 million? Nothing. Huh. You see? So when we look at the Bible, there are people that think it was a myth. But even today, there are still those who think that some part of the story in the Bible is a myth. It doesn't make sense. There are a lot of things that don't make sense to anybody. And that's why this whole book, the Bible, is shrouded in mysteries. The eyes of the sinners, how could they ever see something when their eyes is in darkness? When they are veiled by sin, when they are veiled by carnality, how can this Bible make sense to them? That's why I don't believe in giving a person, you buy a thousand copies of this St. John Bible, the Gospel of St. John, and go to the street and they give everyone. Do you think the sinner by reading really understand what they are reading? How can they hear and understand except a preacher be sent? That's what the Bible said, you are my witnesses. Until that you make sense to them. I particularly read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes and should not perish but have lasting life. How is this sinner got to know what the whole thing mean? Yeah, I hear about Jesus, but you're telling me that I believe a man who died on the cross and resurrected. You're telling me by believing I have eternal life? I don't get it. So you have to explain to him. Right? Share with him that you are a sinner. Where you are heading. Where we come from. Where we are going. The purpose of life. So by giving a gospel book, the Gospel of John to the sinner, you think that he will know the truth? Yeah, he might. If he is the Lord all by himself and crying out to God because he got a problem in life, so why is the true God? Perhaps God will deal with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just a brother Peter. Being a mafia, being a Roman Catholic, what does he know about salvation? He probably have said, I don't know how many Hail Marys. And yet the day that he wanted to kill himself with a gun, God miraculously stopped him. Do you understand? All right. So if we as a Christian, if we cannot believe the Bible, the whole Bible is from God. The everything from Genesis to Revelation, all that are written are true, then we are not worthy to be God's children. And he will certainly spew us out of his mouth. Revelation 21, verse 2 and verse 10. Revelation 21, verse 2 and verse 10. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Yes? You know, it's a... You got this metaphor? Something that you represent something? Okay, right. You see, the Bible, it's these are prophetic things, and God used particular expression to make people to understand. But yeah, people can't understand because, as I said, it's without Holy Ghost, Bob, I would say anyway. Without the Holy Ghost, without Holy Spirit, the Baptist only people cannot understand the Bible. Now, in saying this, I just wonder how many of the people out there who believe Brother Branham actually know what he's saying. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't understand the Word. And yet these people are not even studying the Word. They are just listening to what Brother Branham, every Sunday. Or quoting Brother Branham, making statement. You know, I'm getting all this from some from a believer almost every day, maybe once in 2 days. A quote of Brother Branham. You know, they put out, you know, people design it, you know, create a little picture, what we call that picture, you call it image, yeah. And they quote Brother Branham's word, decorate nicely with some pictures behind this and that. What Brother Branham said. It's just like putting Bible verses. You know. And there are people that came on sending Bible verses as if I do not know the Bible. That's okay, you know. That's alright, go Bible verses and just to encourage me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say unto you, rejoice. Okay, fine. As if I'm not rejoicing. I'll be glad if you send me rejoice when we see that I'm sad. That will push me up. It helps. But people are sending all these verses out, quotes of Brother Branham out. What does he do? Well, you know, sometimes the people who say make them so happy that they are doing God a service. Huh? Well, but what here we see? The holy city, New Jerusalem. Now, one German minister believed that this holy city, New Jerusalem, is a literal holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven and rest on top, floating above the city of Jerusalem. Wow. That's something. And if you look at all that, the measurement, how does it fit in it? It overshadowed the sea many miles away. And it's floating above the whole sea. So, they are up there, the holy city, the spiritual one, the one for the bride, the below one for the natural people. I don't understand. But the Bible here tells us very clearly, how is it that people, I mean, if we have the Holy Spirit, let's look at it closely. Look at verse 2. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. Right? Adorned means, you know what adorned means, you know? Well prepared, nicely dressed up for the husband. So, how is it that the holy city, if it is a literal city, for Jesus Christ the husband. Is Christ married to a literal city? A physical city? I don't understand that. How the people could not even see the word there. You understand? And the Bible then said in verse 10, He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy city, descending out of God from heaven. Oh, see that? A great and a high mountain. That is Mount Zion. That is Mount Moriah. Is it so? Great and high mountain always shows authority. Up high. Lofty. Just like in Ezekiel and Isaiah, when the Lord spoke regarding Lucifer, thou art the anointed cherub, the bombman of stones, and you have been upon the holy mountain of God. What does it mean? So you see, the bride, we are the great and high mountain. We need to say we are the authority. We are the bride sitting with Christ. Now we are going to come down from heaven. And this will be in the millennium. I mean, in the new holy, in the new heaven and new earth. In the, what do we call it? Eighth age, if you want to say that. The eternal age. Do you understand this? Now, I said this early on. God's plan and purpose. He chose a bride so that there could be a people, a nation, the whole day He could give the oracles. No Abraham, no Israel, no oracles. No oracles, no revelation of who God is, no revelation of who the Creator is. God wanted to channel. That's why the Bible was written by, well, practically every one of them a Jew. Do you understand? And if you go to the book of Genesis, who wrote that? That's Moses. And God gave the oracle to Moses, give them the first five books, telling about the history of life. God's revealing Himself. You see, when God created Adam and then gave him Eve, there was no veiling. They were walking in the garden, and God would come down to fellowship with them. Right? They were naked. There were no veiling. Nothing. They were not dressed any clothes. They were not dressed any thick leaf. Because there were no clothes to begin with. Now, let me say this. Because man sinned, does not man need to be clothed? If the animal have sinned, the animal will be clothed. And then, yeah, I see some animal lover, they clothe with their dogs. They make their dog wear pants. Looks like their dog have sinned. That's fine, isn't it? So because of that, when sin came in, that's why Adam realized the veil of God has been lifted from him. Now he saw all that which is filthy now. Filthy in what sense? Filthy in what sense? Is it filthy because, yay! I'm a man, you are a woman. Cover up, cover up. What is obscenity? Is it because Adam and Eve sinned against God, using their sexual organ? Now, I want to be open in using words. Some people say, no, you can't do that because it's not for the church, not for a Christian to use such word. That's kind of odd, huh? You know, I remember the first time I read what Brother Branham said about the serpent seed. When He wanted to describe about what Adam and Eve committed. And he talked about the woman, you know, in the middle of the body, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I don't know what you mean. You know the way that he said, you see, Brother Abraham lived in those days, in the 50s, in the age of Puritan, that's so to speak. People don't talk about using words like we would use today in a proper way. They just want to talk about it. You know, parents who have children. In Singapore, they are talking about having sex education. No, no, don't use the word sex. It's not used, don't use the word sex. Say birds and bees. Huh? Have you taught your children birds and bees? Come, my son, I'm going to talk to you about birds and bees. What birds and bees? I know what birds are, what bees are. You know, people have such a way of saying, using words that don't. Hey, if you look at the Bible, it's open. There's nothing to hide. Go to the book of Solomon. What is the book about Solomon? Romantic. Romantic? Read it at the closing carefully. The book of Solomon, as some people say, is a filthy book. It's pornography. But it is described in a flowery way, yes. Huh? Because that's a language of relationship. But today, why are we talking birds and bees? Why can't we say sex education? Huh? Why can't we say that the serpent had sexual intercourse with Eve? No, don't use the word sexual intercourse. We have a lot of Christians, you are so pretentious, you know. But let us say it the way it is, using the words then. When Adam and Eve committed the sin, veil was lifted. The veil of God was lifted so that they can understand what they have done. What did they do? What had they committed? Eve have committed sex with a serpent, you know. So she belonged to the serpent, but I decided to take her in, so I also have, you know, sexual intercourse with her. And that is, that opens her eye that something is wrong, this is dirty. That is not what it is. What have they done? That the whole thing is considered obscene. What they have done is they have broken the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, the Bible talks about a harlot. You know, adulterous woman, brother, who commit adultery. See, whatever mouth says, there's nothing wrong. Why? Because she don't see that it's wrong. Sinners, you know, they go sinning, they go to prostitute, they commit fornication, they rob, they cheat, they lie, they curse, they swear, they don't consider it wrong. Is that right? You know, when I go to the mall, I have to pass this basketball court. And you see young people playing, and see elderly men, I mean not elderly, I mean middle-aged men playing, you know, basketball. Sometime I come back, I see only school kids. They are in the secondary school. And they are playing basketball. Girls, boys. And many times I hear them use the F word. like nothing. It's so common. Once you form a habit of using all this S word, the F word, or whatever word you use, you know, that is more becoming of a swear and cursing. And that becomes ingrained into your life. It will take you all the way from every day down to the day when you grow old, you are still using the F word or the S word. You know what I mean by S word? Shit. You use the word shit in the proper way, it is not wrong. Just like as I said this before, if I walk with you down the road and you step on some dog feces, ow, my brother, you're stepping on the dog shit. There's nothing wrong with it. But when you get upset, you say, you know what I'm saying? You start to get angry, start to curse with the S word. Like using the F word. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you see a carnal man, a sinner, he does not consider what he had done anything wrong. But for us, Christians who are really born again, have a walk with God, experience God, the moment we do something wrong, you know what happened, right? Immediately you're reminded that is wrong. Because why? You realize we have broken the word of God. Huh? We become aware. So that is obscene. In the eyes of God, it's obscene. You steal something and be aware. You steal, that's obscene. Not because the stealing is obscene, but because you broke the word of God, that is obscene. Because we are related to the Lord, because the word of God is in us. God do not value with his word. God does not veil the word that he gives to you, that you can't see what you are doing. No. The word that you have put in your heart, right? It's alive. Your conscience does it every day. He didn't cover it up so that you can commit sin. Oh, just the people who don't read the Bible, don't study the Bible, put it on the shelf. Never read it until when they're in trouble, then they open up the Bible. No, it's not like that. The word of God is a living word. It's alive. In our heart. So let me say this. You know, well, God is very personal. But let me say this, when God chose Abraham, then have Isaac come down with all those revelations. Now, we are in the New Testament age. We're in the age of grace. So now, God had chosen to give all this epistle to the church to guide her so she can grow. But how does he do it? Go to the Bible. After Christ died, resurrected in heaven, he gave gifts unto men. Right? You are the apostle, you set down the word. Amen? Yeah. So what happened after that? All the apostles died? After John died, finished with the book of Revelation, the Catholic system came in. Catholicism came in. And began to mess up the foundation. So God restored the church back a little bit at the time during the Reformation. Then we have John Wesley, then Brother Branham came along. Right? The Bible shows us this picture. So now, when God sent the last church messenger The message he gave her was to come back to the Word. So when we come back to the Word, we are supposed to stay in the Word. You understand what I'm saying? We come back to the Word of God. The Bible said in the book of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, he shall turn the heart of the Father to the children. That was John's fulfillment. John the Baptist. And the children to their fathers. Yeah. Now, I was telling about brother in Africa, I was sharing with him. You know, he has been in the message for long, and I was there when I was in Uganda. But he still did not know a lot of things. So he was surprised when I shared with him. So now, when we come back, when the message turns us to the Father, what are we supposed to do? Are we not supposed to learn the Father? You understand what I'm saying? We're supposed to learn the Father. Learn the Fathers. Our heart is turned back to the Fathers. What is the Father? Who is the Fathers? The founding fathers of the founding gospel father. The apostle of the first generation apostle. They have laid a foundation, so we got to learn what this is all about. But many are not learning the Father. Why? We need to learn the Father because we're growing. Now let me say this. You know, after Brother Branham passed away, the message go down the corridors of time. And when people heard it, yep, they come out of the system, they come back to the Father. And then God gave the fivefold ministry. Get it? Bringing the apostles in to lay the foundation for them. To stabilize the people. To stabilize those who believe in the Word. They cannot, so that they were not tossed to and fro. Huh? Now, you see the flow of God. How the Word of God flows. From churches to churches until the last day. To the last church and message, to the fivefold ministry. The apostle ministry down. So, one passed away, another will take over. Not one by itself, but apostles. Meaning that, okay, a group of apostles passed away because they have laid the foundation. Other apostles continue. Other ministry, prophet, evangelist, pastor continue with the ministry. So now, here was a brother who recently sent me an article. An article about the COVID thing. You know, he said about the article was latest news of something like that. It's from Russia. Somebody in Russia said that the Russia have actually dissected or did an autopsy of a COVID patient, a COVID victim who died. They opened up, they found that, oh, it is not actually a virus and blah, 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 it's a bacterium. It's something to do with 5G and so on and so on and so on. Now, this is the fake news. So I asked the brother, I said, who sent this to you? Do you believe in it? Oh, he didn't answer the question. He said, oh, it's from SWF. SWF, I said, what under this time? Spoken Word Fellowship Group. I said, what is the first Spoken Word Fellowship Group send out these things? Is it true? Do you believe, is it true? Tell me to him, you know, I said, oh, well, you know, this person is smart. He said, he was telling me this person is smart and things like that. He said, I don't want to be smart. He said, then I sent him a picture. I don't want to forward that picture to you because to some of you, he said, Bergam, you're very filthy. But it is not a picture, a video that someone sent me from India. And they are making fun of the COVID situation in India. It shows, a video shows a priest, a Hindu priest, naked, standing in a tent, and somebody put the word down there, COVID-19 treatment center. And they're just making fun of it. There was a video of a naked priest, and he's in his hand, he holds a rod and some kind of feather at the end, the other end of it. And he was naked standing there, completely naked with a bell, I'm going to describe it, hanging at the end of his phallus. And then there was a woman on her knees going forward towards him and hit the bell with the hand. And this time she hit the bell with the hand, the priest would sort of, you know, tap on her head with this feather hand as if to bless her. Tap again, bless her. Tap again, bless her. Now, I said it to the brother, I said, well, you know, we're living in the old way, we have all this idolatry. What's different between those and Branhamism? Everything is Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, compared to this. People are caught in tradition. And people are doing things that do not know what they are doing. There was this naked man, naked priest, with a bell hanging down there. And devotees will come to him on the knees crawling and touch the bell and get a blessing by the end of that, the rod with the feather at the end of it. I mean, people are caught. This, I will look at this, I say, oh my goodness. India is in darkness, and here was this woman. She definitely doesn't know what's going on. She was just following some kind of tradition to get some kind of blessing. And this priest thinks that he is some supernatural being or something that can impart blessing by being naked with the bell hanging down there at the bottom of it. I sent that to her. I said, do you see any difference? With one tradition to another, people are in darkness, veiled by the darkness of their tradition. The brother said, "Brother, yeah, that's obscene. That video is obscene." I said, "No, brother. The video is not obscene." And I asked him, "Do you know what obscenity is?" When God created Adam and Eve, they were naked. Was it obscene? No. Was it obscene? You know, that's why once I told a minister who do not believe that, who believed that the sin of Ham was that he chanced upon Noah's naked in his tent. And going tell his two brothers, make a joke of it. And his two brothers have to walk backward with a cloth to cover Noah's nakedness, the father's nakedness. I said, if this is true, then when a man is old and he's weak, could not feed himself, could not wash himself, his children, his son, could not take care of him. Is it true? That his son cannot take care of the father, bear the father? What is obscenity? It's not for the child, for the son or the daughter to look at the father's nakedness. It is not obscene. Men adore that idea. What is obscenity? It's when you break the law of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why Adam and Eve, they covered themselves because they realized they have broken the law of God and they were ashamed. Huh? Yeah, to the man's behavior, we covered ourselves because, oh, it's obscene. No. To God, the obscenity is not that. Obscenity is that you have broken the law of God. When God said, what did God say? What did Jesus say? Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the law, right? But if you look at the woman, you lust after her, you're broken. You already committed adultery. Remember? Is that not what the Word of God said?
That's right.
It's not about just a physical thing. It's about the spiritual thing, the Word of God. Once you break it, that's obscene. Are you getting me? No, it's very kind of silent here. You're nodding your head. Alright, let's finish off with Amos, chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Just read there and you close and we continue next week. Just this Amos 3, 7 to 8. Brother Prachi, can you read it if you find it?
Amos chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy?
Amen. All right. We're going to touch on this next week. But I want you to go and chew on it a little bit. You probably have already know it. But just to let you know something about it. This verse 7. It has been so misused, misunderstood, I would rather say, by many who follow the message. That verse has been quoted many times, but never properly understood. Because Brother Branham used it many times, people just use it and refer it to Brother Branham, but not fully understanding it. The only way I can say this, brother and sister, is that when we come back to this word, when we not, you know, the message is simple. Come out of her, my people. Right? Yeah, we come out. Where do we go? We come out, where do we go? We have to go somewhere. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out. Come out. Come out what? To meet him. Right? Hello? You got what I'm saying? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Come out. Full stop. Is that what the Bible said? Come out to meet him. Other place of scripture, come up hither. Because the bridegroom is higher. But you see, the other problem is many read it. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet me. Who is me? The one who is proclaiming is the messenger. Did he say that? Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet me. Come unto me. Is that what Brother Abraham said? The parable is very clear. The messenger, the midnight cry, is always pointing to the bridegroom. Not pointing to himself. The messenger don't point to himself. The messenger will never say, come unto me, all you the heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The only one who says that is Christ. Not any messenger. So let us all don't have some tradition, some ideology. Cover the word of God that we receive. Because God didn't cover it. The veil has been torn. Remember? And the way to it is open. That we can view it. We can view the Ark of the Covenant. Literally. And the Ark of the Covenant is the word of God. And the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for thy word, Lord. Break down, Father, the word of God further, Lord, to each and every one of your people. That they can understand it more and better, Father. In the hour that we live in. Oh, that we may grow in thy grace, Lord. That we may learn, Father, a little more of what all those apostolic words that you have given, the first generation apostle, Because you have written it down, and they are all in mysterious form, Father. But in the last day, you have given your spirit of understanding for those who will learn the Father's. So, Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace now. Bless the rest of the day, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.